Two places. First of all, in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10. And then the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 11. In our series of encounters with Jesus so far, it has been encounters with individuals. Today it is an encounter or a series of encounters with a family. And there are three passages of Scripture. We read two of them just now, and the third one we shall read in the course of the sermon. So first of all, the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, at verse 38. Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her." John chapter 11 at verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary. Notice Mary mentioned first this time, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to Jesus saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness is not unto death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified by means of it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." Look down to verse 17. Now when Jesus came to Bethany, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him, while Mary sat in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying quietly or gently, "The teacher or the master is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Then Mary, when she came where Jesus was and saw him, fell at his feet. Martha didn't do that. Fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always, but I have said this on account of the people standing by, that they may believe that thou didst send me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with bandages, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Amen, and may God bless to our hearts the reading of his word. Turn with me in your Bibles to the two passages that we read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, John chapter 11, and the last passage you'll be glad to know is in John's Gospel, chapter 12. To my mind, it is very clear from the Gospels that within the company of the disciples, Jesus had special friends, Peter, James, and John. These three were privileged. These were the three that were taken into the room where Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. These three were the three taken to the Mount of Transfiguration. Yes, they were privileged and greatly privileged. They were, as it were, his special friends. And it was these three special friends who failed Jesus so miserably in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yes, they were special friends, but they were not perfect. All three of them at times had to be severely rebuked by Jesus. But it is clear that Jesus called people like Peter, James, and John as they were. Not in order to change their personalities. That's not what Jesus does. Not to change their personalities, but to mold and to channel their personalities and capacities in order to make them useful and fruitful servants of God. And this is what he did with Peter, James, and John, as the rest of the New Testament testifies. It was clear also from Scripture that Jesus had special friends who were not in the inner company of the disciples, nor even in the wider company of the 70 who were sent out on evangelistic missions. Jesus had special friends who were not in the official group of disciples. They weren't then, and they weren't going to be, preachers or elders or administrators. But they had a specific ministry of great importance. Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus and their home in Bethany, just a couple of miles away from Jerusalem. And it was in that home of Bethany, a home that Jesus often visited, it was in that home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus that Jesus spent each night from Palm Sunday right through to Good Friday. It was a special home. It was a family whom Jesus loved. It was a family who loved Jesus. It was a home where Jesus felt comfortable. Of that there is not the slightest doubt. But that family was not in any sense perfect. Mary and Martha were both real characters. Not simply that they weren't fiction, they were real. But they were characters. in all that we mean when we describe people as characters. They were both real characters. And I'm not at all surprised that Lazarus, their brother, really fades into the background. Maybe with two sisters like that, he felt that the simplest thing and the easiest thing was just to slip into the background and not to be too obvious. And Lazarus seems to feature only in relation to his illness. And Jesus' love, notice what Martha said. They said, Martha and Mary sent to Jesus and said, "Our brother whom you love is ill." They didn't say, "Our brother who loves you is ill." Lazarus features only in relation to his illness, in relation to Jesus' love for him, and the miracle of his being raised from the dead. Keep in mind, of course, that sooner rather than later, Lazarus would have to die. But we concentrate this morning on the two sisters, not so much the miracle of the raising of Lazarus. And Mary and Martha always seem to be set over against each other. I try to emphasize this in the scripture reading in Luke chapter 10. As they went on their way, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. But in John's Gospel chapter 11 at verse 1, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary. Now the house belonged to Martha. But when the village is spoken about, there's the suggestion that people generally spoke about it as Mary's village. And there's a suggestion that they found Mary easier to get on with than Martha. Maybe Mary was gentler. Maybe Martha was the kind of woman who said, "Oh, I just speak my mind." The trouble with people who just speak their mind is that they object very strongly when other people speak their mind to them. But these two sisters seem to be set over against each other so often. Now, they were both disciples in all that that means. They both loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Of that there is not the slightest doubt. But they were very, very different in their personalities, and therefore they had different ways of expressing their devotion. But then you see, personality has to be taught and trained and directed. Whether we're a Peter or a James or a John or a Martha or a Mary, personality has to be taught and trained and directed so that there will be balance in the personality and therefore balance in Christian service. I don't like popular sayings, they trip off the tongue so easily, but I think it's appropriate here in the story of Martha and Mary to remind you that it is said sometimes of some people that they are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly use. But the converse is true, that there are some people who are so earthly minded. The whole pattern of their thinking is so worldly that they are no heavenly use. And therefore, you see, there has to be in some measure brought about a balance of personality. And when we think of someone like Martha, now Martha was the kind of person who was never at rest. There tended to be no peace in the house when Martha was on the go. There was always something being done,
even if it had just been done. And as I said to the children, Martha was the kind of person who, while she is busy doing one thing, a great part of her mind is already on what's got to be done next. I remember once complimenting someone, one of my own relatives. She and her husband had just decorated their sitting room, and they made a magnificent job of it. Felt they'd spent far too much money on it, actually. But I commended them. It looks lovely. The woman said to you, should see the bedroom upstairs. It hadn't been done. So her enjoyment of what had been done was completely spoiled by what hadn't been done. Now, Martha was a bit like that. In measure at the beginning of the story, I think she was a woman with an unquiet heart. She could never be at peace. She could never just accept things. She always felt that things had to be changed, and people had to be changed. She was that kind of woman. Always active, so much so, I think, that if in the home you sat down for a bit of peace and quiet, you felt guilty. Because Martha never sat down. Martha was always busy. In a sense, Martha was always organized. She was that kind of woman. Over against Martha, there is Mary. Now, Mary was the kind of person who was always spiritual. Now, I don't want in any sense to be unkind to Mary, but Mary was always spiritual. I've come across folk who I don't say it openly, but in my heart I think of them as desperately spiritual. And I don't think I could live with folk like that. Well, Mary was always spiritual. Mary was always reading her Bible. Mary was always reading spiritual books. Mary was always thinking spiritual thoughts. Mary was always praying. But I'm quite sure that her room was always in a state of chaos, and her home was always in a state of chaos. If it was Mary's turn to make the meal, you can guarantee that the meal would be late. It would be something put together at the last moment. Things were never on time. She was the kind of woman, I'm taking a risk, the kind of woman who, if she was going to church, always arrived late. Not now and again, but always. And Mary was the kind of person, so it seems, who was always so taken up with her own spiritual life and her own spiritual devotions that she didn't notice other people and the extra burden that was being put on other people because of her wrongly developed spirituality. If you look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, you will read there that Martha received Jesus into her house. And almost at once, Mary seemed to take possession of Jesus. Of course, Jesus was speaking. And I'm quite sure that Jesus was speaking of important things. And Mary was listening, and Mary was taking it all in. Mary sat at Jesus' feet, listened to his teaching, or listen to his word. And I know that if Jesus said Mary has chosen the good portion, Martha was very aware of all that had to be done. When it says that Martha received Jesus into her house, was Jesus on his own? Or did he have Peter and James and John? Or did he have the 12 disciples? 12 visitors suddenly arriving in your home, and you've welcomed them in, and it's time for a meal. A meal for 12 visitors, and Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And who else could possibly have been there? I don't know. Martha was very aware of all that had to be done. And she was busy at it, preparing the meal. And as she did, she wasn't concentrating on what she was doing properly. She was becoming more and more aware of Mary doing nothing. And as she became more and more aware of how busy she was and Mary was doing nothing, Martha became more and more annoyed with Mary. And I think Martha became jealous of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. And the annoyance and the jealousy built up. And I'm sure you know the kind of thing I'm talking about. So, some of you have said to me in certain situations about so and so, they never do a thing. And the way you say it indicates that you're annoyed with them. And maybe rightly so. There are people who don't do a hand's turn. That's a shocking way to be a member of a congregation. But Martha's annoyance and jealousy built up. And she went to Jesus and said in a critical spirit and in a complaining tone of voice, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Now, I'm quite sure that Jesus noticed that Mary was sitting listening and that Martha was working very hard. And I think, in a sense, Jesus thought, "No, Mary's sitting there listening to what I'm saying because she loves me. And Martha's working herself to the bone because she loves me." But you see, Martha was forgetting why she was working so hard. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." And she, the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha." You see, Jesus didn't snap back. He said, "That's no way to talk." Well, it wasn't the right way to talk. Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and you're troubled about many things. Your mind's racing, your feelings are racing. You're so fretful that you are losing out on the blessing that my presence brings." Martha should have been thinking, "I've often been as busy as this, but it feels different today." And she should have, "Oh yes, of course, it's because Jesus is here." "Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." Some commentators suggest, and other commentators suggest, that the suggestion's wrong, that Martha was in the process of preparing far too elaborate a meal. "Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful." And I know that at times a substantial meal is necessary, especially if you're inviting students for Sunday lunch or something like that. "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful." Now, we've got to be very careful. Jesus wasn't devaluing Martha's work. She was a worker. In the olden days, you know, in the Church of Scotland, people used to be described as church workers. And I know sometimes they were church workers because they were trying to earn salvation. But then you see there are some people who rejoice in the fact that salvation is the free gift of God in Jesus Christ, but they never become church workers. Jesus wasn't in any sense devaluing Martha's work nor Martha's willingness. I think I agree with one of the commentators who says that Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. At this time, there's only one thing that's really needful." And at this time, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and to the cross. There were significant crises for Jesus and Martha and Mary and Lazarus. We don't know where he was at this particular point, but crises for them to meet, crises for them to be prepared for. And Jesus said, "Oh, Martha, Martha, there are times when the setting of priorities is absolutely essential. Martha, you should be putting together just something to keep us going. We don't need anything elaborate. And you should be sitting here with Mary, listening to what I'm saying." Because what Jesus, it just occurred to me, what Jesus was saying to Mary at that time is the key to what Mary did, when we'll come to it in a few moments, at the beginning of John's Gospel, chapter 12. "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Oh, be careful. Be careful and set a guard on your activities." I leave you with the question, did Martha resent what Jesus said, or did she respond? But turn now to John's Gospel, chapter 11. And we are told there at verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Interesting that he mentions Martha first. Martha, to whom recently he said, "Oh, Martha, you're all bothered and troubled. Why don't you just be at peace?" Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary. There is a suggestion that Martha was a widow. I don't know whether that's true or not. And when they sent a message to Jesus, some messenger to Jesus, and then we are told down in verse 20 of that chapter, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, no doubt somebody was watching. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary sat in the house. Martha was able. Remember, their brother had died. Their brother had died and been buried, and the burial was just recently passed. Martha went and met Jesus. And the words of Martha in verse 21 are not to be read in terms of a rebuke or criticism. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here," I think when I read the scriptures, I said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." I don't think that was criticism. I think it was an expression of her regard for Jesus, her trust in Jesus, her awareness of the power of Jesus and her awareness of the difference, the radical difference, in so many different ways, that the presence of Jesus can make. Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give it to you. It's an astonishing statement, really. She expressed her conviction. And it seems here as if her busyness had subsided and had given her time to think about her faith. Lord, if only you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give to you. Can't say that about me, can't say that about Mary, but about you. Whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And I think Jesus' heart warmed to me, to Martha at that point. I think Jesus, here's somebody that I can lead her on in her faith to a new level altogether. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. You see, he didn't say everything all at once. Your brother, said Jesus, Martha, don't you believe in the resurrection? Your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection. Her doctrine of the world to come, her doctrine of the resurrection was authentic. And Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Oh, my heart throbs and thrills within me every time I quote these words as I stand at an open grave or at a crematorium committal. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Oh, said Jesus to Martha, don't you see now that death cannot stand against me? Do you not see that because of me death cannot have the last word? Do you not see that in my presence death is conquered? Do you believe this? And Martha said, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who is coming into the world. And if you say so, I believe it. Think of the joy of Jesus' heart. Jesus, who had given her, and in a sense who had led her on, to the opportunity to express her faith. Every bit as radically as Mary had done, sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, where was Mary? We must hurry. She was at home. Mary, who had seemed to be so very spiritual, was sitting at home, shattered by her grief, and not coping. It was Martha who went to meet Jesus. And Nina said, Martha, the hard one. I don't think she was hard. It was Martha who went to meet Jesus. It was Martha who heard Jesus' words. And it was Martha who came to Mary. Look at verse 8. When Martha had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying quietly, saying gently. I like the old version best. The Master is here and is calling for you. Oh, I couldn't, however much my imagination was, I couldn't put into words, I couldn't describe to you the atmosphere, the sweetness, the grace, the tenderness, the love, the care that there was in Martha. Can I put it all? She got back home. She went into the house, went over to Mary. She put her arm. Come on, Mary. The Master is calling for you. And Martha took Mary. Oh, there was no rebuke. No suggestion that Martha was saying, you should have come. You shouldn't have kept Jesus waiting. No, nothing of that. And certainly no suggestion that Martha said, oh, Mary, where's your spirituality now? She said quietly, Mary, the Master is calling for you. What Martha really said was, Mary, Jesus wants you. If you take nothing else away from the service, take that. Jesus wants you. And the two sisters went to Jesus together. And they went to Lazarus' grave together. Perhaps realizing just how much they needed each other. And when Mary came to Jesus, verse 32, she said exactly the same as Martha. She said it more extravagantly. Down on her knees. Everybody watching. And the thought of criticism was a million miles away from Martha. And so we're left with the first 8 verses of John chapter 12. The two sisters, can I read it quickly? 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at table with him. Mary took a pound of costly ointment of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, he who was to betray him, said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to take what was put into it. Jesus said, let her alone. Let her keep it for the day of my burial. Or in another translation, she has done this in relation to my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. Just concentrate on the two women. Still true to their basic personalities. Both showing their gratitude to Jesus in the way that was most natural to them. Just as Lazarus did. He went and sat down near Jesus. Martha, catering for at least 16, if not more, no complaint. She was doing it out of love for Jesus. And oh, what a difference there is in the life of a congregation when people do things for the love of Jesus. Mary, she showed her gratitude in a different way. She did something that no one else did. She discerned what was happening. This was the beginning of Holy Week. What had Jesus been saying when Mary sat at his feet? Was he saying what he often said to the disciples? The time has come for me to be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles, to be scourged and scorned and mocked and derided, and nailed to the cross and left in disgrace and dereliction. I believe that Jesus at times, certainly it's in the scriptures, Jesus at times spoke to those who loved him about the burden that he was carrying. And speaking like that and sharing a burden is far more spiritual and far more honest than carrying it yourself and saying you're all right. And Mary was aware. There was Caiaphas, the high priest, with his murderous plan. There was Judas, ready to sell Jesus. There was the imminence of the cross. She was aware of the burden of Jesus' heart, anticipating, as it were, the words of Jesus in Gethsemane when he said he was troubled. He said to Peter, James, and John, watch with me. And when he came back and found Peter, James, and John asleep, I can imagine the Lord Jesus thinking, Mary won't have forgotten. And in one extravagant, costly action, she ministered encouragement to Jesus. No rebuke from Martha. And I was left imagining Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Later on, perhaps, when others had gone to bed, these three, as perhaps they did every night, in family worship and prayer, I can imagine them giving thanks to God for all that he had given them and all that he had done for them in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we said to the children, it's all about loving him who first loved us. And that kind of love needs to be expressed in the way that is most natural to us. And that's the story of Martha and Mary and the anonymous Lazarus. Amen, and may God bless to us his word.